a kiss can be such connecting, intimate thing. If you are having a proper kiss with somebody, it's quite difficult to do that without some meaning. You can fuck without meaning, and you can be self-absorbed in your own pleasure, and you can be in a kind of porny place in your mind, and just connecting with the body and the act and the feelings that are happening to you. But with a kiss, you can't really do that. It's inherently a connecting thing.
You had me at kiss my chest.
And I was like, oh man, if you can't say that with this tone, with this energy, I wonder what else is there. Okay, I will kiss the chest and I will be happy with it.
Welcome to Deeper Sex, where your hosts, Chiara, Will, and Ali, were three friends whose lives have been transformed by getting curious and creative about sex. This podcast is about what we've learned on our adventures. It's about how sex can help people heal and grow and deepen their relationships. So we want to help you connect with your own sexual energy, to communicate and build trust and confidence.
We're quite kinky, but don't run away just yet. Wherever you're at, I promise the best sex of your life can be in your future, not in your past. We do tell explicit stories about our experiences together, so please stop listening if you're not an adult. Otherwise, stick around, because we believe we've found our holy grail, and we hope you'll find yours too.
Hello everyone, we have a very special episode today. You'll hear why in a minute. Today we talk about all things intimacy. We will cover the differences between transactional sex and deeper, more intimate and sensual connections. We will share our personal journey, as always, of learning how to shift boundaries in the kinky world that we sometimes play in. And we will draw lessons for how intimacy and sensuality can actually supercharge your erotic connections in all kinds of relationships. We talk about how rare and precious it is to find partners who share a similar emphasis on slow, intimate play. And towards the end of the episode, we will give you a few tips on how you could communicate on intimacy in all of your relationship and how the power of focusing on the present moment can lead to mind-blowing experiences. So enjoy.
Welcome back to the podcast bed on this very special edition where the three of us are recording for the first time completely naked.
With boundaries.
With boundaries, of course, because Ali's man is not here, and so we are keeping our hands off each other, being very well behaved, at least until the weekend when he gets back into town.
But you can touch and I can watch.
Oh. Okay. Now, you're difficult to record now because I have other things on my mind. I do my best to be professional. Okay, we're going to talk about intimacy and sensuality. One of the reasons we found this a really interesting topic is that as we have explored our way through the non-monogamy lifestyle, and we've been to swinging parties, we've been to sex clubs, and we have found that a lot of people, a lot of what is happening there is quite transactional. It's sex, and it can be very sexy, and it can be anonymous, and it can be hot. But one of the things that makes that so different from the sex that we have in our partnership is that there is no intimacy and no sensuality in it. And so it feels like a very different thing. When we met Ali and her man, we discovered another couple for whom intimacy and sensuality and slowness and touch and connection was a really important part of their play. And not only that, but that axis of sex was something that we were able to, all four of us together, share. And it's almost unique in our experience of things. It's one of the things I value most about the time that we spend together. It's not just sex. Sometimes it is very hot and horny. But for instance, it was a long time before we actually had sex. There were several play sessions before that actually happened. And even since we have, sex is probably only 10 or 20% of the time that we spend playing together. So it's a long way from being the main show. And it's a wonderful thing. But when I talk to other swingers about it, in fact, I posted a
question about this on the Swingers Reddit the other day. Why is it that so many people in the lifestyle don't include sex and sensuality in the lifestyle, in what they do? Lots of people set boundaries around it and feel that sensuality and intimacy is something that's only for the couple, and it's not something that's within the rules, within the boundaries for when they actually play. So I thought it was worth looking at and asking, why is this? What is it about us and what we like that's maybe different to other people? What is it about the boundaries and rules that we've set among ourselves which is unusual? And could it work for everyone, or is it something that's specific to us? And so, with all of this skin on the bed, I'm rapidly losing attention, so I'll throw the floor open to someone else who wants to come in on that topic.
I think, first of all, in no way, in no shape or form here, we're trying to tell people that are listening to us whether they should have intimacy or not with other people, if they decide to play with other people, and to what extent. Here we're sharing our personal experience and our journey, because I think when you and I started, for example, we thought that certain things were absolutely off limits and we would never do them. And then as we became more confident and comfortable with each other and our relationship grew and we got to know better certain people that we play with, especially alien or man, then the way in which we determined what the boundaries shifted and molded around our relationship and how that shifted for us. We have friends that decide that kissing is absolutely out of the boundaries. That's a sign of intimacy, and so they prefer to not do that, and we respect that. There are people that say we can go out and play with people, but nobody is allowed in our bedroom. And again, we respect that. But things that you might decide at the beginning of your journey in the lifestyle might change. And I think what helped us, what worked very well for us, was to stay flexible and fluid and continue to keep an open dialogue between ourselves and always calibrate and recalibrate based on what we were feeling in the moment, in the conversations we would have after the parties that we got. What's your view, Ali?
For us, when my man and I started this journey, I think probably a little bit more me than my man, it was important that certain things that I felt were intimate was to be kept just between him and me. A funny one maybe is coming inside someone else. I could sometimes feel a little pinch of jealousy if I could see that he was kissing super intimately with someone else, because kissing is such an amazing but also very intimate action. Inviting people into our bed, in our bedroom, I found very intimate. But then we were so lucky to meet both you guys and other amazing couples and unicorns and fun people along the way, and exploring more intimate or sensual sex, we realized the last couple of years that we enjoy that so much more than just we enjoy fun and kinky and playful and fantasies. But when you add sensuality and intimacy into the mix, then it becomes mind-blowing.
Oh my God.
Yeah, orgasmic. And I think along the way, we became so secure in each other that we are not afraid anymore to invite intimacy and sensuality into the bedroom and into our swinger lifestyle experiences.
Quite early on in our journey together, there was an evening where we all went out camping together.
Yeah.
And on that night, we were not playing, because there were other people around and it wasn't going to be a play night. And we all knew this, and this is all what was expected. And we were all four of us lying by the campfire, looking up at the stars, and it was a beautiful night. And you and I were side by side, and we were holding hands. And we started playing this little game with our hands. It was just fingertips on fingertips and little bits of touch and hands moving around each other. And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautiful, and it was very innocent in its own way, because we all knew that there was not a sexual energy happening here, and it was that. But then I had a moment where I thought, am I crossing a boundary here? Because your man was there as well. He was on the other side of you, but he wasn't involved in this hand-holding thing. And there was something about it, because it felt sensual or intimate, but because we were not in a sexual situation, I was actually, after the fact, quite worried. Was he okay with this? Because we hadn't talked about it beforehand, and it was early on in our journey, and it was just something that happened.
No, absolutely.
And we talked about this since, and I know now that it was okay. But for somebody else, that really might not have been. I could really imagine somebody else's man noticing that his woman was holding hands with somebody else and playing finger twirl and thinking, what is going on here? This guy is trying to poach my woman. And it's almost as if little sensual, intimate, semi-innocent moments like that, they can be very threatening if that's not part of the boundary.
Yes.
What was happening in your mind during
that? I was simply going with the flow, but I also think for us, because we are so secure in you guys and the love that you share between Kiara and yourself, we have no doubt that it's you and it's us and we share amazing fun adventures, but there's no intention of splitting each other up or crossing boundaries, or we are all in this together. And there's also this kind of brotherhood almost between you and my man, even though we've known each other only for a short period of time. Strangely enough, there's this trust, right? And with this trust, I can be lying here naked on a podcast bed with you guys, and I can be hand twirling with you under the stars in the desert at the campfire. And I must say, you are way more considerate than I am, because, of course, I should have thought the same thing for Kiara. But I also, Kiara, you're such a strong woman that I also hope that if I ever cross any of your boundaries, you feel comfortable enough to say, hey, listen, get off my man, or can I join in?
Absolutely. And as you talked about the brotherhood that I'm happy you recognize and I'm starting to see as well between our two men, as we like each other a lot and we like to play, etc. But I think we've also built in this short period of time an amazing friendship and an amazing sisterhood, you and I, where we would never, ever do anything to jeopardize the beautiful relationship. It's a relationship. I mean, every interaction with another person is a relationship. Yes. A type of relationship. There's nothing that I know either me or you would do to jeopardize and fuck that up.
And it's so nice to have that trust.
Yes.
We've all got a big stake in this not going sideways because it's so clear. But I guess to gather all of that back together, in a way, the more of a sense of safety and the more trust there is in a relationship or in a situation, the wider you can cast the net of what kinds of things go inside it. And that's a difficult thing to say without sounding like I'm being critical or patronizing towards people who've made a choice that they don't want to do certain things. And I don't want to imply that people who say no to kissing are somehow more insecure in their relationships. Perhaps another way of looking at it is that they're being especially cautious. Like they especially don't want to take any chances at all with the sanctity of their own relationship. Or perhaps their relationships mean different things to them. Perhaps there's more of a sense of the sanctity of it that really shouldn't be broken on a point of principle rather than on a kind of risk assessment side of things. Another thing came to me earlier when I was thinking about this, and that is that it's a bit of a paradox, really, that a kiss can be considered more risky than full sex in terms of the connection between people. It's odd, but it's also true. And I think it's because, as you said earlier, Ali, a kiss can be such a connecting, intimate thing. It's quite difficult. If you're having a proper kiss with somebody, it's quite difficult to do that without some meaning. You can fuck without meaning, and you can be self-absorbed in your own pleasure, and you can be in a kind of porny place in your mind, and just connecting with the body and the act and the feelings that are happening to you. But with a kiss, you can't really do that. It's inherently a connecting thing. And in my erotic world, when I see Chiara kissing another man or doing something else with another man, one of the things that's happening for me is I'm not feeling jealous exactly, but there's something about the taboo of the situation which is raising the stakes and lighting a fire of excitement inside me. It's not that there's anything wrong that's going on, but there's still some kind of vestige of that territoriality that some part of me maybe, or some part of my conditioning maybe, says shouldn't be happening. And most of me is really enjoying the sexiness of the situation, but there's part of me that's a little bit on edge about it. And the way that my sexuality works is that I harness that, and that multiplies the sexiness of the situation. And the fact that an intimate act, like a kiss, or even seeing that, oh, they're whispering in each other's ears, I've got no idea what's being said, but that erotic charge of the taboo of something sensual happening is more than the erotic charge of something obviously porny and sexy happening, which is why I like it, why I like to play with that. A lot of eroticism is about playing right on the edge of what you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
And that's why I like sensuality in our world.
I think also it's amazing that you can channel it that way, right? And it also, again, comes back to confidence in your relationship, confidence in yourself. It's interesting because we encountered a couple not too long ago where they have a fully open relationship, but actually he likes to watch once in a while, but she likes to go out on a date, wine and dine and have an amazing fuck and then go home and crawl into bed with him. And that's their dynamic. Whereas I don't think that would work for me and my man. For us, it's really the journey and the experience together and reliving that and turning that into more fantasies or other fantasies or a fantasy. It's interesting to observe and learn and what people's dynamics are in the scene and also outside the scene. And as you mentioned, boundaries and intimacy is very different for different people.
I think it depends on the energy that the other person that's, let's say, playing with your partner gives out, right? Because I feel I'm not jealous at all of Will. However, there have been very few instances where I felt that the woman wanted a little bit more than what I was okay to allow at that point in time. And I felt a hint of jealousy because what I perceived the intention of that one woman was not an equal intention of, oh, I'm just here for the fun of it in this particular moment. And so I felt a hint of jealousy. It hasn't happened very often because most cases when you go to these parties, people tend to have the same energy, but the random hunter is always there.
Yeah.
And the single person trying to get lucky that night by immersing herself or himself into swingers party is always there. So what's really important is to pay attention to the energy of the other people that we decide to allow to get involved with us and be mindful of that.
I also think it has a little bit to do with respect. And there's no doubt the dynamic changes a bit when it's a single person for some reason. Even though you are very secure in your relationship with your partner, introducing a single person into the mix, which happens quite often in the scene and doesn't have to be non-threatening, but if that single person, it being a woman, for instance, does not seem very respectful towards you, even though she sees that you guys are a couple, and in reality, you'd be happy to invite her into the mix, but if she does not include you or somehow...
Or tries to take over, for example, yes. Which was the instance that happened.
And I think, unfortunately, that's very often a female thing. It's that, whereas I think often the guys are somewhat more respectful also because they know that they will be kicked out if they don't show respect. Whereas women are very welcome in there are not that many of them, the unicorns. rare breeds.
Where are you, girl?
Right here.
But yeah, definitely disrespectfulness or, yeah, it's this unspoken code of conduct that you have in the swinger scene for singles, but even for couples, that you acknowledge that it's okay, you can come and play, or that invitation.
It always goes back to communication, and we talk about this in every episode, no matter what the topic is.
Yeah.
It goes back to communication, for example, showing interest in a man in front of you. So first you look at the woman, and then you look at each other and you ask with your eyes, is that okay? And then you get a nod, and so you get closer, and then maybe you put a hand on a leg. Or the other way around, actually, let's put it the other way around. If a man is interested in me, if he immediately puts his hand between my legs, he's going to get slapped and kicked out of the club or wherever we are. However, if we look at each other and I nod and Will nods and then maybe puts a hand on an arm or on a leg and then there's another nod, okay? So there's this nonverbal communication that happens that slowly allows that person to come closer up to the boundary that you choose to give time. But it's still back to communication. And if people don't do that, then they risk to cross a boundary and that doesn't end well.
I wonder if sensuality is only possible once everybody is feeling really safe and secure in a situation. And one of the reasons that sensuality doesn't show up so much in a lot of swinging scenarios is that a lot of people have a lot going on in their heads. They're on alert, they're wondering what's happening around them, or they're sexually hungry in hunting mode. Because it's very easy to drop into sensuality when we're just alone as a couple. It's natural because everything is completely safe and everything is completely predictable. But in those kind of free-flowing swinging situations, there's a lot of moving parts going on. So I wonder if when we're not complaining, but like remarking that there's not so much sensual, intimate energy in the swinging scene, if a lot of it is because everybody's capable of it, obviously, but they don't have it available to them in those contexts because everyone's in their head and everyone's not feeling safe. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but this feeling safe idea is particularly important for women in order to be able to drop into your sexy energy.
And if we want to translate this into a very normal vanilla style of dating between a man and a woman, you meet on Bumble, you meet on one of the apps on Tinder, then you go on a date, and then you know the woman agrees on taking the man back home. That doesn't necessarily mean that she's okay to sleep with the guy. And so if the guy, again, immediately, not assaults her, but immediately goes for the end goal and hands on boobs or hand between the legs, and there hasn't been a verbal or nonverbal communication agreement on that, it's the same. It's breaking trust and it's not providing safety to that particular woman. So in a sense, it's a very similar situation to when you're dating in a normal vanilla situation, a man and a woman.
I also wonder how much sensuality is there actually left? How much is sexuality tainted by porn and by toys and by kink? And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with all these things, but with porn and educating us and the younger generations and with Tinder, it's so accessible, so quick and easy to find someone. You just go on an app, and if you feel like getting off, you don't have to masturbate anymore. You can just see that Mr. So-and-so is just around the corner, or let's do a quick shack. It's become way more accessible in the culture. How big a part does sensuality actually play in people's relationship, and have people actually learned to tap into sensuality and intimacy, and do they understand both the value of it and how to express it, how to receive it, how to use intimacy?
It's something that's been a lifelong journey for me, definitely. And I think my appreciation of sensuality has jumped exponentially or two. When Kiara and I first got together, we didn't kiss. We played this game with each other where we would hold our faces just next to each other, and I would kiss her cheeks, I would kiss her eyes, I would kiss her eyebrows, and I would almost kiss her mouth, but just not quite. And this was at a time when we hadn't had sex together yet. And those experiences of not kissing, but almost, were sexier than almost all of the sex in my life to date before then. Because just of how much your attention goes to it, and the anticipation, and the immersion in that moment, and the sense that the same thing is happening on the other side, just from the simplest kinds of touch, and the simplest kinds of the brain, really. It's not even entirely about your feelings in your body, it's what's happening in your mind when this is happening, the anticipation. When you're having sex, proper sex, it's like the music is turned up to 11. There's masses of stimulation going on in the most sensitive areas of your body. And it's almost like your brain can't process it all properly. But when there's only the tiniest bit of touch, just like this, like in the silence, hearing a pin drop sounds loud, it's a totally different way of accessing erotic energy, especially when you know that there's more of the good stuff coming later on.
You had me at kiss my chest.
And I was like, oh man. If you can say that with this tone, with this energy, I wonder what else is there. Okay, I will kiss the chest and I will be happy with it.
It's all about context and expectations, because if what you are focusing your attention on in this situation is putting your dick into a pussy later, hopefully, then all this stuff, all this preparatory stuff that's happening now on the way, it's like, here's the shitty breadstick starter that we're having to, they're having to get through. I mean, no, but I'm really thinking about the steak. But if you manage to shift the locus of your attention to be really present with exactly what's happening now, without being at all goal-directed about what's going to happen later, if anything, then there's just this wonder of sensuality which you can just skip past.
Which is why sensuality leads to mind-blowing sex, actually, right? So that's the secret sauce. I must say, one of my man's and me's most mind-blowing orgasmic moments were actually, we were lying in a park in a big city the day after we got married with our clothes on, and it was a beautiful sunny day, and we were just lying in the grass and then our bodies next to each other. And I'm sure that people that were walking by were thinking they were having sex with their clothes on, and basically we were lying there for hours, but it started so slow. It was just the scent of his neck in my nose and his fingertips like touching my body over the clothes. And this, we merged into each other and our movements were, I actually think I came. I had an orgasm.
Very excited.
But it was such a buildup. It was so orgasmic. And both still to this day, we talk about how explosive and mind-blowing that experience was. And similar, like yours, you're focusing on the moment and you're really in the moment and you're enjoying what's happening right here, right now. And the build-up is insane. It was really spectacular.
You mentioned the being present, and actually just before we started recording, Ali, you were talking about you were out for drinks once with your man and you were observing this couple next to you guys, and you noticed how, in your opinion, present they were, because while you and your man were having some conversations and planning about booking this and holiday there and
our next naughty adventure with you guys,
that too. What you observed was two kind of disconnected people that ordered a couple of drinks, but were focused on taking selfies and the perfect picture for Instagram. And then you observed that most of the time they were not talking, they were not looking at each other, and they were mainly on their phones. That sounds like not being present. Maybe they were texting each other and that's their thing.
You never know.
But yeah, the being present, I think for us, is a big part of the intimacy. For example, we've been at parties surrounded by literally circus and a type of circus that we are not particularly into. And it was difficult for both of us to drop in because there was so much going on and distractions and not particularly pleasant. But when we locked eyes with each other and we non-verbally agreed on, okay, let's just focus on us two right now, basically the world around us disappeared completely. And by looking at each other and being there and present with our full attention purely on each other, despite, I guarantee you, the circus is happening around us and the several people around us, we had an amazing time for the time that we chose to be there.
This reminds me of another dynamic that makes sensuality more difficult in open swinging situations. You and I both need to check in with each other regularly to make sure that each other is okay. And I particularly feel this responsibility because I'm keeping the situation safe for you and making sure that everything is as it should be. But to the extent that you have this kind of searchlight patrolling part in your head, making sure that your partner is okay, that isn't compatible with dropping in and being truly present with the person you're fucking or whatever it is that you're doing. And that has become easier and easier as we have communicated more about what needs to happen in these situations. At the beginning, I felt the need to have my eyes on you a lot just to make sure that you were okay with what was happening, which meant I wasn't really in. Even if I was in, I wasn't in. But the more we've communicated and the more that... Today we had another discussion about this and you said, look, if I'm not okay or something's happening that needs your attention, I'm going to actively come to you and make sure that... So give me a really urgent tap on the shoulder or say something or shout. And you said that if you don't do that, then I can feel safe to drop in and be more present in whatever or whoever it is that I'm doing at that time. And that really helps. And that doesn't mean that I'm ever going to totally forget about you for 6 hours and then come back later on. But it means that I can just take a look over my shoulder every 5 minutes or something just to make sure everything's still okay over there. Of course, that's what I'm allowed to do in principle, but actually in practice, I am so charged by the erotic connection between you and me in the middle of whatever it is else that we're doing, even if we're not touching. I am getting so much of my sexy energy from those little bits of eye contact when I look over to you and I see what you're doing and you look at me and you see what I'm doing. And then you put on a little performative show of what it is you're doing because you know that I'm going to love what, and then you will do to the guy exactly what I like you to do to me, and you will know that you're doing that. That's interesting, actually, because in those situations, we're both dropping into two things at the same time. We're both dropping into the person who we're with, and we're also dropping into each other's sexual energy at the same time. And that's really the holy grail. And we found in the dynamic between the four of us, me, Kiara, Ali, and Herman, that's what happens almost all of the time. And we're always together. We're always in the same bed or couch. And we're all doing the same thing with each other. And I catch you and your man looking at each other and doing exactly the same thing between the two of you. You're just like, oh my God, what am I doing? Oh my God. Oh my God. And it's so cool. But I think when I moan a bit about the lack of sensuality, what I'm feeling is how hard that is to replicate in bigger sex parties or with new people or in clubs where, yeah, I guess there's so many more moving parts and there's so much more going on and so much more distraction and so much more novelty.
I must also say, I think one of the reasons that we were attracted to you guys were that we could see that connection between you guys and that you were intimate with each other, even at the party, even though nothing happened that first time, but you were touching each other, holding hands, giggling, looking over at each other, checking in on each other. And even outside the lifestyle, my man and I, we often talk about who in our friend circle do we see. We've been together for 15 years and we still hold hands. I will still come and sit on his lap. I will still give him a kiss or a kiss in the neck, or just also when we are out, not that I'm constantly hanging over him, but we'll often be interacting with different people, but we always walk past each other, check in, give a kiss, give a hug in between. Last time we went out for a big dinner with lots of vanilla friends, and we were sitting at each side of this long table, but we always make an effort when someone goes to the kitchen or bathroom, we just pass by and we just like a little snuggle and, hey, I love you, or are you okay, or wow, you look stunning, I can't wait to take you back home and screw your brains out.
You guys are amazing.
But we were talking about, I think it's probably, if we're lucky, 5% of our friends that do that. And
I thought that was the only way.
Yeah, but me too. But I also think intimacy and sensuality fosters more intimacy and sensuality, right? If you don't keep on cherishing it and feeding it and watering it, it will disappear. Yeah. And I think that's unfortunately what happens in a lot of relationships, both in the lifestyle and outside the lifestyle.
You were talking about that party where we met for the first time.
Yeah.
That was actually one of our very first smaller parties outside of a proper club that Will and I went to. And it was very important for me to feel protected, safe, and connected to Will, because I didn't know how I would feel. I didn't know what would happen and what was going to go on. And the people kept coming into the place where the party was happening. And I had the big need of feeling safe. And so the constant, maybe holding hands or laughing or giggling with each other, was a constant getting reassurance from him that he was there no matter what. And then we're so lucky that we met you. And I remember telling you, these guys are so hot. And now we got sight of each other until...
You guys just went off with someone else, sluts.
Faster. So yeah, I think it's in terms of, you know, what to prioritize in the relationship, in a couple, when you go to this event, especially when it's at the beginning and you're still dipping your toes and exploring, constantly providing the safety to each other, not wandering off with the first hot man that walked in. That was your man.
Thank you very much.
And the other handsome man that we know.
Yes.
That we're not going to name. Those two. But showing that I'm there and I'm present, I'm not going to walk off and walk away with the first handsome person that walks by. I think that helps.
There's one more dimension of that comfort and safety thing, which is we have this criterion that the other person has to be worthy of each other. I will only be comfortable with you playing with a man who is worthy of you. And you are only comfortable with me playing with a woman who you feel is worthy of me. And it's not so much about where is this person on the scale of 1 to 10 of hotness? Are they hot enough? It's much more about the energy that they put out. And a lot of it, I think, is to do with respect and an attitude as well. And I think a person who fits that category of worthiness, who is respectful and has got that positive attitude, is almost by definition somebody who's capable of sensuality as well. And the same person may or may not be worthy on different occasions, but if they're in their hunting mode, then they won't seem to be worthy, because all they're looking for is to bang. And that's not the energy that makes us feel safe.
I think a good way to conclude this episode is, if we were to think about a piece of advice or a tip that we would share with listeners that want to get more comfortable in, I don't know, potentially exploring this type of connection, this type of relationship, or maybe they have already dipped their toes into it, but they haven't found this holy grail yet that we have found. If you dig deeper, you can find our details.
No. One morning you'll wake up and there'll be like a massive line outside your
No, but on a serious note, I think if there was something that we could share to help, because ultimately the reason why we're having all of this open conversation, really like heart open conversations on this podcast,
and we're sharing tits out conversation.
One day we'll move on to a YouTube channel before we get censored. But if anything, we're doing this because what we have is so fucking awesome that we wish everyone on a different scale. It doesn't have to be full on swinging. It doesn't have to be swinging at all. My question is, does every couple have intimacy? Are you able to have intimacy? And what is intimacy for you? Because your definition of intimacy might be different from the definition of intimacy of your partner. Thinking about what is intimacy? Do I have intimacy? Do I need more? Do I need less? What do I need to communicate? So what's a piece of advice that we could give our listeners?
Talk about what intimacy is. Ask each other that question. And do you need it and want it? How do you receive intimacy and how do you give intimacy? Because that is probably also very different from couple to couple, right?
Slow down. Take away the sense of there being any goal except the thing that you are doing exactly right now. And one more thing that might be more
which
practical.
Is touching Kiara's boob.
Mm. I had another point and now I've forgotten it. Oh yeah, here it is. Imagine you couldn't have sex. Either you weren't allowed to or you were sick and so you were physically unable to in some way. What would you do instead? Oh yeah, just like that.
And that's a wrap.
All right, that's it for today. We hope you enjoyed our stories. If you're craving for more, you can grab our free guide, 10 phrases to help you start deeper conversations with your partner. The download link is in the show notes. If you have any questions, topic suggestions, or simply want to share your own experience anonymously, do send us an email or connect on social media. Our contacts are also in the show notes. And if you enjoyed today's conversation or learned something useful, don't forget to subscribe or even give us a 5-star rating. The more people do that, the more this podcast can help others in similar situations. And this is how you can help us pay it forward. Thank you for listening and see you in the next episode.